But having narrowed the worldview options to a manageable number, whether 2, 3, 7 or more, the classical apologist then examines the alternatives to theism in order to show that they are to be rejected. The basic strategy here is to show that there are other worldviews are rationally incoherent. So they are false because they don't they're not rational in and of themselves.
Right. They don't hold together very well.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Which, you know, Nancy Piercy has done in her book that we went over, Finding Truth. So this is a familiar step to the show and to other people. And you have followers of Norman Geisler, like Frank Turek, who also looks at worldviews and also applies this rationally coherency to different worldviews that he's responding to as well. Which sometimes feels a little bit on the presuppositional side, and you know, stealing from God title is always one that I'm kind of chide my teeth at, and I think he just needs to come over to our side and leave his Catholic brothers. I kid. Well, other considerations may also be pressed. For example, that they are in conflict with specific facts, or that they are unlivable. But the characteristic emphasis of the classical approach to refuting non-Christian worldviews is to show that such worldviews are logically self-contradictory and or self-refuting.
Right. So the book gives us several examples, but we'll kind of pick out one here so that you can kind of get a feel for how this works. So the classical approach to refuting these non-Christian worldviews can be illustrated here with pantheism, for instance. So most non-theistic religions have affirmed one of the many forms of pantheism, all of which in some way identify or equate God with the all, right? Yeah. So that God is in some sense the ultimate and only reality. So God is everything, right? So notice Geisler notes that pantheism is a comprehensive philosophy that focuses on the unity of reality and seeks to acknowledge the immanence and absolute nature of God. In spite of these positive insights, though, he suggests that pantheism is an inadequate worldview because it is actually unaffirmable by man.
Right, right. And, you know, you might think, oh, this is kind of a belief in the 80s and 90s. But I'm reading Rosario Butterfield's Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age right now. And this is a subject that she covers as one of the five about, you know, oh, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious type deal. And she has a conversation with a person who kind of, I am God and we are God together and we are all God and everyone's right, except for then when Christianity is confronted in their face and they're like, oh, I can't believe you're being, you know, evangelized and you're being brainwashed. Children run away from your parents because I feel sorry for you. So this is still a belief that's being held even today.
Yeah.
Well, specifically, it is self-defeating for a pantheist to claim that individual finite selves are less than real. To assert, I believe that I am not an individual, is to utter a self-refuting statement because it assumes the existence of the individual who says, I. This is Ayn Rand's anthem. You know, there's no I, it's always a we. You're dichotomously having to, in your own mind, refer to yourself as both a number and also a part of the collective, and so you are trying to get away from this individual statement. But then the character, I always forget the numbers for it, but learns of this individualistic breakthrough of the letter I, and so that unravels the whole case for Anthem. So someone who says I while at the same time denying it is then self-refuting their claim. So pantheism is wrongly assumes that whatever is not really ultimate is not ultimately or actually real.
Right. And so there's the rub there with regard right. to it. So pantheism also cannot adequately account for evil, right? It asserts that evil is an illusion and is meaningless since pain, The problem here is that how can it be an illusion with the classicalists would say, you know, because pain is really felt, so right. It's not right, and it's unable even to distinguish between good and evil, since in theory all is one. Nothing can be evil as opposed to good.
Right.
And so Geisler, for instance, argues that to say that God and the universe are one says nothing meaningful about God, and is quite frankly indistinguishable from atheism.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, wanting to be spiritual, wanting to go to the buffet and pick out the salad and the steak and then some chicken on top of it, and then cap it off with some soft serve ice cream all over everything. So it just winds up a mess.